A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, an epic battle between light and dark was fought.
We're your hosts, Shalom and Courtney, and we're calling all Jedi Junkies. From Tatooine to Jakku, to buckle up for this hyperdrive adventure through the galaxy!
You're listening to Jedi Junkies on Almost Nerdy.
We are going to spoil these movies, so make sure you've already watched them.
Yo, welcome to Jedi Junkies.
Empire Strikes Back.
Strikes Back. I'm in a John Raphael mood right now.
Shalom's like really stuck on John Raphael right now.
Cannot help it. Someone might be dropping them all over the place.
I'm apologizing to everyone at the moment. I'm so sorry.
Vader is your daddy.
So, what better way to celebrate Thanksgiving than with Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
You couldn't have planned this. It just happened this way. On Thanksgiving,
we have
the ultimate family drama of Darth Vader revealing.
Ultimate. More crazy than whatever political conversations you might have today.
Yes. At your dinner table.
At your dinner table.
Maybe fights more than.
Yeah.
Debates. Who knows?
More like really heated conversations.
But will it top hearing that someone's your dad and then jumping into like an abyss?
Committing attempted suicide.
We don't know. Okay. So let's get into this. I'm going to do 2-sentence summary and then we will rate this movie.
Yep.
This is my 2-sentence summary of Empire Strikes Back. The Empire continues its mission to track down the Rebel Alliance to win Luke over to their side. Han's devious ways finally catch up to him as he's caught in a plot to lure Luke away. I did a tongue tie there. From his Jedi training and into a trap where he finds out who his daddy really is.
Oh my gosh. Caught in a plot. I like that.
Yeah, I really lured Luke.
Got stuck there. Caught in a plot. That's so good. I like it. That's okay. Some solid rhyme.
I wasn't trying, but it worked out that way.
That's awesome.
How would you rate this movie, Shalom?
Ooh, I would give this a 10.
Yeah.
It's really good. And there are things that you've been noticing that just have been blowing my mind. You know, like the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
That's also
Guys,
weird.
On Hoth, those, like, I don't know if they're stormtroopers. I don't know what they are, but they look like they're KKK knockoffs.
Right.
Like, just, it scared me. That was a moment when I was like, this is what happens when you don't have people of color in high up positions to be like, yo. That looks like it might be from this.
That looks like KKK. I mean, they might pull it off because they're bad guys.
They're bad guys.
You know, stormtroopers are bad guys. You know, space KKK.
It was scary, though. I was a little scared today.
Yeah.
I would also give this movie a 10. I know a lot of people don't like this. And I think that in a trilogy, the second movie and a second book, if it's a book as well, often tends to be the one that people don't like as much. Because it's kind of stuck in the middle. It's kind of that one where it's like, it's not the beginning of the adventure.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the adventure. It's kind of just the middle. But
That's true.
The thing that I love the most about this is, A, I am just obsessed with Yoda. I know I've said this a million times. I am freaking obsessed with him. I love that he's wise. I love that he's like kind of a surprise character. He's fun.
Yeah.
On top of that, we have bounty hunters. I just, like, I love that addition to this universe.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of introduced to it a little bit with Han.
Yeah.
But then we get there, we've got backstabbing on backstabbing on backstabbing.
Yeah.
Like, I love that part of this story.
Yeah.
And then I think finally, Han finally gets his. Like, he finally gets it. He finally gets it because he's just kind of a jerk.
He's a jerk.
And he's he gets a jerk. It in the end.
He's finally like, save Leia, do this. Like, he's kind of like...
He's finally but coming
he's still,
around.
He still is like, you
has
know...
Has to pay for
when
his
she's
sins.
Like, I love you. And he's like, I know. I mean...
you know what's really interesting? They really did try to have Han say, I love you too. And they said it just didn't work.
Just didn't come
like,
across.
It just was not coming across. It felt really disingenuous. Like,
yeah,
that's just not the type of guy he is. But like, they wanted him to be that guy. Yeah. And it just didn't happen.
Right. Exactly. It's a jerk thing to say, but it's a Han thing to say. Yeah. So, I think sometimes what happens is, you know, as the audience, of course, you decide what you feel is right and what you feel is wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's the job of the storyteller to be true to the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so making Han change who he is,
mm-hmm.
or rather have him have such a sharp turn on his arc,
yeah.
would have been pretty, like...
Like, disingenuous. You know?
Yeah, disingenuous.
To the character. Yeah.
So him kind of saying something like, I know, but still at the same time saving her life,
yeah.
I think was a pretty good way of balancing out what was happening, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Mm. I agree. So this story kind of divides a little bit. Like, our group gets divided. We start on Hoth. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And then we'll go down the two stories.
Yes. Yes.
So with Hoth, I have a question.
Mm.
Do you think Han really had to put Luke inside the Tauntaun? Do you think that was really necessary?
When it was cold?
Yeah.
I think it was. I mean, that's survival. You know, because I you know, well, one of the things I've always been a, you know, Stephen Irwin fan until he passed away, sadly. And I remember afterwards I was kind of like, is there anything else on TV that's like as daring? Until I discovered Bear Grylls, who is insane, right? And fell in love with Bear Grylls mainly because of his survival kind of vibe. He's like, I will drink my own pee. And so...
Ew.
You know, and it makes sense. And there's some weird things that he would say about how to stay warm, how to survive extreme temperatures. So stuff like that helped me, like, even as I watched this movie again, I was like, you know what? I get it, because blood is warm. And so I can see him going like, yeah, we'll be warm for a bit. I can see the logic in that. I don't know if Bear Grylls would tick that, but, you know.
Tick it off his list. Yeah, I'll try to stay warm in the Tauntaun. Check.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think the Tauntauns might be one of my favorite creatures in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
I really like them. I like how they run. They're kind of bouncy.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, I just like them overall. I'm a big fan of them. So I always like the parts of the Tauntauns.
Mm.
Yeah, I think you really kind of needed this beginning conflict. Mm. And that's something I also really enjoy about the Star Wars movies, is because they have kind of that beginning scene with all the words.
Yes.
You can just start straight in. You can just start in the conflict. You can start in the middle of whatever. And and the audience is there with you.
Mm. Mm.
Like, I feel like that is something really hard to do. I think a lot of movies try to start you right in the middle of the action.
Yeah.
And that can often be confusing. But because they start with that whole thing, like, you know, the Rebel Alliance is still being chased by the Empire, but now they're on this ice place. Like, you can start there and everybody knows where we are.
Mm,
so I do really enjoy that about these movies. Mm,
yeah. Ooh, yeah, I think that's pretty good. So, you know, with the whole Wampa Tauntaun scene and the attack and everything, there's also the rumor that some people obviously... I suspect everyone, so I'm like, okay, they put the scene on just to cover stuff up. But they say because, you know, Mark Hamill wasn't in an accident, so they decided to put in that scene to kind of explain away his new look.
Because he does have the scar.
Right.
It fractured his cheekbone, I think.
Yeah, George Lucas says it was already there. You know, they didn't just put it.
But it helped.
But it helped. But I don't believe it.
Like, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, based on the way that, like, the Star Wars movies have gone, I wouldn't be surprised if there was already a scene there where Luke gets in trouble and something happens. But, I mean, intentionally attacking his face was probably in there.
Right, right.
To cover up a little bit.
Right.
The fact that
he
got in a car accident.
Right. Yeah, I think that whole separation of the whole group, Luke mm-hmm. going his way, mm-hmm. everyone else going their way. I think that was, you know, a good plot.
Yeah.
So that whole experience doesn't really faze me that much. But it's interesting.
Yeah. Definitely yeah. some, like, interesting little trivia yeah. about, like, how movies are made and yeah, what they have to exactly. do sometimes to make things work.
Yep.
yeah. I'll never forget there was one show that I really liked where the actress got pregnant and they, like, didn't want to add another child to the wow. movie. It was Charmed, like, mm. later on. And so every shot of her was, like, only head up. Like, wow. there was, like, no shots of her, like, below headshots. So whoa. It was, like, the filming was very strange because they just were, like, we're not adding another baby to this movie.
Oh, my gosh. yeah.
So it's interesting what they have to do sometimes wow. to, like, cover things up. You think they hired, like,
a stunt double for, like, some of the, like, fight scenes and stuff like that?
For her stuff. She just mm. wasn't in them. Whoa. Like, they hid her away. Like, she was doing different things. Like,
so they rewrote the script yeah. just to make it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, that series went through a lot of things. But
yeah, that series, it went through a lot of things. I mean, yeah. they had, like, what, 9 seasons or something like that. Yep. Anyway, back to Star Wars. So, plus, you also kind of needed the time with Luke getting away and get hurt so that Obi-Wan could kind of reach out and be like, yeah. hey, you need to go to the Dagobah system yeah. to train with Yoda.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So without that, I feel mm. like it would have been hard.
Yeah, almost impossible. Yeah. yeah.
Mm. So, mm. no complaints.
No complaints.
I think they did a good job.
Yeah.
anyway, okay. So, Luke gets to Dagobah.
Yep.
What were your initial thoughts on Yoda?
You know, I love that storyline. I love, you know, I might have shared this before. For me, the, like, if I had, like, an alternate life, like a parallel oh, no. universe Shalom who is living the hero's life, he would, you know, go into, like, a very dark and dingy, like, into the woods and meet an old, weird-looking sensei and learn how to be a master martial fighter, martial art, is it artist? Martial,
yeah.
I don't even know. And just be like kick ass and just come back and fight all the bad people. So for me, this whole storyline is just, it's my dream. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. And Yoda is so perfect. There's a weird looking person, but who's going to teach me how to be unbeatable? So I enjoyed it.
I mean, it's no, for me, it's no, you know, I'm very forthright with this. I love Yoda. He is by far Yoda. My favorite. I think what I like so much about him is he's very unsuspecting. Like, you know, he is this little guy and he's incredibly wise. Mm. I love that in the beginning, he is just like trolling. Like, he's just trolling Luke so hard.
yeah.
Like, he's trolling him so bad. He's like, you're looking for Yoda. He's like, yeah, master warrior. Like, he's going to look like this. And meanwhile, it's Yoda the whole time. You know what I mean?
yeah.
And I really like the part later on when they're trying to get Luke's ship out of the water, right? And Yoda's like, just pick it up. Like, you can just do it.
Mm.
And Luke's like, no, it's way too big. And I don't, like, you don't believe that you can do it. And that's what makes it so that you can't do it.
Wow.
Because
wow.
Yoda's so over his size. Mm. He's like,
yeah.
He's just like, whatever. Like, I can do anything. And he lifts it up.
Mm.
I think that's like a very interesting, it's a very interesting take on like what you would expect a hero to be and then what he is. And I think you also add the additional effect that like he is a Muppet. You know, Muppets were very prominent at that time and like used a lot. So you just add that to the whole thing, and I think I don't know. I really like that part.
No, I think he's awesome. He's awesome to see. Luke, on the other hand, is kind of showing a lot of his youth.
Yeah,
you know, just being like a little punk, you know.
Yeah,
and he's a nice guy. Like, I wouldn't say Luke is a bad guy, but he's a kid, and I think he shows a bit of that. With this place is trashy, you know. And I love how Yoda's like, this is my home.
Yeah,
you know, and kind of there are a lot of conversations around that where it's like, yeah, like don't call someone else's home trash. Don't they can call it trash, but you don't do it.
Yeah, you don't do it
because it's their home. That's where they are from. And so that was very interesting to show Luke's youth and just how he's impatient and all those things. And I love how Yoda then switches when he's talking to Obi-Wan. And kind of being like, I can't train him. I can't, you know. And that was such a like nicely put together, you know.
Yeah, I do think that in the beginning, that's why Yoda is, like, trolling him. That's why he's so silly in the beginning, like, you know, like going through his food. Like, I think he was testing him. I think he was trying to test, like, how patient are you? Like, how kind are you? How, like what's your outlook on life? Because he does say, like, he's like, you're not focused on the now. You're so focused on where you want to go at the horizon. You're never looking at where you are right now and trying to be in the present. And I do think, like, because the Force does have so much about being able to, like, see the future and everything like that, that I think if you're not like, grounded where you are right now, that's how you do stupid things. You know what I mean? That's why Anakin became Darth Vader, because he wasn't grounded in the now, and he wasn't understanding that, like, Padme, what he was trying to prevent, he could prevent right now by being, like, focused on Padme and focused on Obi-Wan and focused on, like, what was actually happening instead of trying to, like, stop a future event. But are you even a Skywalker if you're not completely impulsive?
Impossible. Impossible. I mean, like, you know, Leia is not impulsive.
A little bit impulsive.
I mean, she is, but she's not
even keeled, though.
Yeah, she's more balanced out. There's something balanced about her. You know, she probably would have been a better Jedi.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely
better Jedi. But we are talking about a time when, you know, that women weren't given the equal chances that
to be a Jedi.
Yeah, like, it's just, you know, because clearly she would have made a better Jedi. But I think that there's always been this weird love of the impetuous hero, like, just crazy, you know, like, where
it's kind of impulsive. Yeah. Kind of like, I'll forge my own way.
I will do my own thing, you know, like, and then they get, and like, and then their it works out for off. Them. It works out, or sometimes hands get cut off, and you know, like, and weird things happen. And you find out
that your dad is, like, the king of evil, basically.
And I think that's the kind of thing where, you know, you realize that, you know, things were different at that time, and I think that definitely we're living different times. Hence, Rey, who is, in a sense, a bit balanced. She's pretty balanced.
Yeah. A little bit impulsive, but more balanced, I would say, than Luke.
You're right. Like, and her impulsivity is more of, like, I have powers. I want to do something about stuff. I want to, you know. And there's almost, like, a hesitation to her as well. Like, you know, which is, like, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? Like, why am I here? You know, and I feel like Luke embraced his role a little faster. And then he's like, I want to go fight everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and
So what is your interpretation of what happens to Luke when he goes into the cave? Like, you know, he goes in, he sees Darth Vader, fights him, cuts the head off of Darth Vader, and it's his head. Like, how do you interpret that?
Like, I don't know if Luke is afraid that he is like Darth Vader. I don't know. You know, it's I guess it's the human story where it's like, you know, sometimes we fight things that in a sense are inside of us as well. You know, like you almost are like, that person is evil, but then I think sometimes we hate something because it's something that we see in ourselves. You know? And I think that's kind of what happens. Society is a great example of that, where we fight a lot of things that we ourselves might have tolerated and or rather have approved of inwardly, and so there's a hatred of what, how we're seeing it, because I think in a sense it represents us, you know, like, and almost like you're trying to cleanse yourself almost. And I think that Luke is kind of battling with that, you know, where he sees Vader as this dark thing, whilst at the same time, Vader kind of almost acts as a mirror to what's already in him, you know? And yeah, it's a weird scene.
It's weird.
Yeah, if you don't think that way, you might struggle with, okay, what the heck? What does that mean? Is it foretelling? Is it, you know?
I think for me when I watched that scene, because the scene right before that, Luke's training, right, with Yoda, and Yoda, he asks Yoda, he's like, which is stronger, the light side or the dark side? And Yoda says, the light side, but the dark side is very seductive. And then he also says that the light side is for knowledge and defense, whereas the dark side is seductive because it does seem very powerful and, like, it's easy. You hit, you get to power quickly.
Yeah.
So I almost wonder, like, if, you know, Luke walks in and he sees Darth Vader. Luke immediately pulls out his lightsaber. I wonder if he had not done that, if he had just, like, been patient and watched, if his, like, prophecy, like, whatever that was happening in there, like, his, like, walk in there would have been different.
That's actually a very
Because,
good
like,
point.
I feel
that's
like excellent. He went straight to attack.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, knowledge, patience.
Yeah.
Like, the light side of the Force. Like, I think he was showing in, like, he pulls his lightsaber immediately. He's going to fight. Like, that he was showing his tendency towards the dark side a little bit there. And Obi-Wan, and, like, when he's trying to leave, like, both Obi-Wan and Yoda are like, hey, you're in a really delicate place right now. Like, you have not quite committed to the light side, actually. Like, you're in the, you are right, like, teetering on the edge. Like, you can go either way.
Yeah.
And I feel like him, like, having that, like, time in, like, the cave, like, he should be like, oh, yeah, like, I really went to the dark side.
Yeah, I went to the dark side there.
Like, I did it.
Yeah.
I went there.
Wow.
You know, I feel like he probably should have, like, taken a little caution from that.
Yeah. I'm excited for the conversation where, because I think that the series of the movie has, and I'm going to say a sharp statement, but then I'm going to explain myself. I think that there's almost an unfairness to the dark side.
What do you mean by that?
Because I think that the dark side represents, like, humanity, and I shared before, like, last week, and I said, like, there's a human side to the dark side. Yes, the light side is the human side to the light side, too, but I think the dark side and the light side represent the human experience. They both represent a complete person. And I am wondering how, like, if they're gonna, they're landing there somehow.
To get to balance.
Yeah, to balance, because
well, they always almost talk about balance to the Force, but then it's like, then why do you go all the way to the light side?
Right.
I don't really understand where the balance is.
Why do you create two different sides where it's like, there's the dark side and the light side, and you either you're one side or the other? And I think that whole world, it's wrong. And I think that's maybe where they're going with this last chapter that we're about to hit with the Rise of Skywalker, in that it's almost, even in the last movie, you could see Rey has this empathy, this understanding, this response to Kylo, and even to, you know, how like her response to the whole pit, you know, and how Luke is scared of that immediately, like, you responded to it immediately, and he freaks out, you know. And but I think that it just shows that Rey almost is there to bring a balance that was never there, a bringing together, you know. And I think that, you know, in Naruto, going off, but I'll land on a point, but in Naruto, they have, you know, two brothers who hated each other and, you know, fought each other, and then they died, and the next generation were incarnations. They two kids got born, have incarnations of those brothers, always fighting each other, and Naruto, you know, ends that by bringing, you know, joining with the opposite side, almost. Not becoming evil himself, but almost going like, we need to work together. And I think that there's almost like, there's an amazingness to, like, to both sides coming together. And I'm hoping for that, because I feel like as you know, Luke Skywalker is going through this, and he's being told, you have to be, if you even show aggression, if you even show this, you're dark. But then I think that embracing that, embracing both is can be good, you know. But that's just my rant on that, and obviously we'll probably talk about that when we do the last chapter, but just a little rant.
Just a tiny rant.
You know? So, that's a tiny rant.
So speaking about Luke is ready to leave his training, right? And he's leaving, and Obi-Wan and Yoda are talking to each other, right? And Yoda's like, there is another. But, like, they never talk about it again. Like, they kind of, like, I just feel like they, like, hint at Leia, right? They, like, hint at her, but then they, like, don't do anything with it.
Yeah.
It's the same as, like, Leia kisses Luke mm-hmm. at the beginning of this movie, and then we, like, never talk about that again. Mm. We're never, like, oh, that was a little weird that time that we kissed because I was trying to make Han jealous. Mm. You know, like... Mm.
Do you feel like a little bit okay? Do you feel like maybe that's why a lot of fans didn't like this movie as much
because there were these weird moments. Yeah.
Do you feel like they kind of just being sporadic a little bit there? Like
a little bit. I do. I think that maybe they were trying to hint that Leia also had powers so that they could justify her being able to sense where he was. Where Luke was after he fell down that tube after the fight with Darth Vader.
Right, uh-huh.
And I mean, I guess we do kind of get to see it in The Last Jedi.
Mm. Yeah, and then the whole, like...
Because she pulls herself in space. She goes back onto the ship.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess, like, in canon, she has force trained a little bit, but not a lot.
Did they have to go down that path, though? Do they have to... like make her his sister? Did they have to do that? Was that a necessary thing? Like, would you say that was, you know what I mean? Like,
I think they were just going
kiss as well.
Like, I think they were just going for all the drama. I just think they were going for all the drama ever. They were like Obi-Wan is a big fat liar.
Uh-huh.
We've got Luke's dad. Luke's dad is Darth Vader, and also he kissed his sister. Like, also, I just feel like they were, like, trying. They were like, what is the most dramatic thing you can ever think about ever?
Yeah.
And this is it. All in one movie. All in one movie. Also, we're going to have this weird Muppet, like, jumping around being a weirdo. Like,
Right.
But it's also one of my favorite movies because I think it's very foundational for a lot of things.
It is.
That happen later on.
They like, you know, being, you have to be honest, you know, like, and I know in stan culture, we don't criticize, you know, but I think it's important to be critical, but also because you get to see how the writers are learning and developing as well. And so it's okay to criticize some of those things and be like, okay, like, it looks like you guys are kind of figuring it out, you know. when you watch the documentary, you see the chaos that was happening and everything that was taking place, and I'm happy that they're that vulnerable and honest to say, hey, this is what was actually happening on scene, on set, and I think that it's okay for us to, you know, to pull those things apart because there are things we pull apart, you know. And Obi-Wan is out here going, like, if you go fight Vader, I ain't coming there.
Cause... Yeah. Yeah, because you'll call me out. You'll call me out. On what I did to you.
Luke is like, why did you tell me?
And he's nowhere.
Obi-Wan ghosted. Is nowhere to be
found. Ghosted. Literally. Like, ghosted so hard. Oh, my gosh. Obi-Wan, like, was just done. Like, just, no. Oh, my gosh. And the other part that kills me is when Darth Vader is talking to the Emperor. And the Emperor is like, it's Anakin's child, and they're like, and Darth Vader's like, how could that be? I'm like, what do you mean, how could that be? Like, Padme was, like, mad pregnant, you know what I mean? Like, she was, like, so preggers, and he's like, how do babies happen? I'm like, you know how babies happen. You were part of the process.
Did you know that she was pregnant?
Yes.
So
remember, they were gonna go. So
I'm forgetting.
He doesn't. Uh-huh. He doesn't know that there are twins. I'm pretty sure he doesn't know that there are twins.
Right.
But he knows that she's pregnant. Because Obi-Wan was going to help them. Obi-Wan was going to go take them and hide them so that they could have the babies and, like, raise them and everything.
But the Emperor lied and said that she died.
He did say that she died. Yeah. Well, she did die. That's not lying.
It's not lying. Oh, true. Yeah, so I guess I can see why he's confused. He must have assumed.
Maybe he just never knew.
He just immediately assumed that there was no child, you know.
And but I do think sometimes they make Darth Vader kind of dumb in these movies. Because, like, in the last movie, Darth Vader's walking around and he's like, I feel someone that I haven't felt in a long time. And it's Obi-Wan. And I'm like, why would you not, like, hang around the Millennium Falcon and try to, like, see if he's on there? Right. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. Why would you just walk away?
Right.
Yeah. Like, he just walks away. And I'm like, this is the dude who, like, cut all your limbs off and, yeah. like, made you disfigured. And you're right. just going to be like, oh, I thought maybe that was him, but who knows? And then just walk away. Like, yeah, I just think sometimes they make Darth Vader stupid in these movies. Mm. And that kind of frustrates me a little bit because I don't think that he's an unintelligent character.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Definitely, you know, the storytelling, it doesn't take away from the beauty of the world and the story. And I think, but still, yeah, like, you know, those things are weird.
Yeah, there are a few just, like, weird moments.
Yeah,
definitely. Some of the interactions are a little strange.
Yeah, true.
But moving on. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things, though, that Darth Vader does is bring in all the bounty hunters.
Yeah.
That is, like, one of my favorite moments of all time. And now that we have the Mandalorian on Disney+, you actually see, like, some of those bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. You actually you catch glimpses of them
in
The Mandalorian, which I think was really cool and a really nice, like, throwback to the to this original movie. Mm-hmm.
It was very enjoyable. Like, I think it was, we're enjoying it right now as we're watching these old movies and we're watching Mandalorian. There's this lore vibe that they bring into Mandalorian where you're, like, just diving deep. You're diving deep into that world. Something that I think that a lot of people have wanted for so long was, they're like, we love this world. It's so good. And besides the, you know, animation and all that stuff, the cartoons and all that have done, you know, Star Wars this and that, that's, the movies are all we've had.
Yeah.
And I think Mandalorian is giving this depth, and you're seeing, oh, I know what that, like, you know, we saw the, you know, I Have Spoken dude, you know?
Yeah,
and I Have Spoken. Like, oh, that's cool, you know? So I think that, you know, kudos to them for finally kind of bringing a lot of these characters to light.
And we have to say, Star Wars fans are pretty fickle fans. Mm. They pretty much complain about everything. I saw a meme today that made me laugh really hard. It was a picture of Ron Burgundy. It was like, in breaking news, Star Wars fans are actually not complaining about The Mandalorian. Because they've complained about every single movie. Every single one people have had issues with. Besides, like, outside of the original trilogy, people have issued with every single movie they've ever made. So The Mandalorian has definitely broken that. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's mostly Baby Yoda? Yes.
Baby Yoda is life. It's,
I,
like,
would die for him.
Yes. If you can just have an episode with Baby Yoda walking around chasing grasshoppers.
Oh, I would watch that. I'd watch that for an hour.
And just sit there and just watch him. Just
if
cute.
He was just sitting there, like, I would watch that. Like, just show me all Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda TV 24/7. I'd watch that.
Let's give this to Star Wars, though. They are pros at cute. Yes. They know how to bring the cute. Whoever does what design, whatever, is a master at just getting you with the cuteness. Yep. It's like, you know, like when BB-8 first came out, it was like, oh my gosh, who knew that two little round balls put together would be, like, the cutest thing ever?
Then the porgs.
The porgs, right.
I hecking love porgs. I love porgs so bad. I've asked for a stuffed porg, like, every year, and I still have not gotten one for my birthday or Christmas, in case porg. Anyone out there would like to get me a present.
Porgs.
I would really like a stuffed porg.
Please get me a stuffed porg.
Please get me a stuffed porg. I have my Ewok. I really need I really need a stuffed porg.
If you're given the choice between a porg and a Baby Yoda, which one would you pick?
Oh, that's not fair. Baby Yoda. You asked me this last week.
Oh, I did?
You keep asking me this every week. Shalom's like,
weekly question.
Weekly question. Is it still Baby Yoda? Yes, it's still Baby Yoda. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
Okay. So meanwhile, Han and Leia are in trouble.
Right.
They are getting chased and they're being sneaky.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite things, though, that they did is definitely when they're getting out of the asteroid field. And Han decides to just go at the Imperial ship. And then he hides on the back.
Yeah.
And then he goes with the trash, like, just floats away with the trash. Which I think is kind of a pun, maybe, on the fact that everybody calls his ship trash.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was intentional or not, but in my head, that was what I was thinking. I was like, that's pretty funny.
It was very clever.
So Then we get to Lando's.
Lando.
I love Lando. What do you think about the whole situation? How like Lando's trying to be like outside of Imperial rule, but to like stay out of Imperial rule, like he makes a deal with the Empire, but then the Empire kind of double crosses him. Like, what do you think about that?
I mean, that's just the world of Han Solo, Lando. There's a lot of double crossing. There's a lot of dealing. There's just a lot of that, you know. And honestly, I mean, Han gets angry about it. It's like, look, that's the world you've been functioning in. That's just the he's working for Jabba.
Yeah,
you know, dude, you're working for Jabba, who's actually an evil guy. You know, so in a sense, there's this. That's the world you're living in, and that's what you've decided to live in. That's how you've decided to roll, and that's what's gonna happen. You know, like, and so I think there's this thing that happens sometimes where, you know, when you're like a good but not a good guy, or bad but not really bad. You know, where you do a deal, and I feel like Lando finally finds himself kind of with a moral crisis, where he's like, oh snap, like, okay, I'm seeing the bad person line, or the wicked line, you know, and he decides to help eventually.
Yeah. I do feel like a little bit bad for Lando in that situation, because I think he was just in self-preservation mode, right?
Yes,
I just
absolutely.
Feel like he was in self-preservation mode, and then this opportunity came along, and he was like, yeah, like, nothing bad's gonna happen there. But then next thing he knows, it's like, no, his, like, friend is gonna get frozen.
Yeah.
And then, like, also, there's all these, like, Imperial troopers around, and there's, like, all this stuff happening, and, like, there's bounty hunters, and he's like, what the heck? Like, this literally isn't what you said was gonna happen.
Right.
Like, you lied to me.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, yo, that's the Empire, right?
Right.
Like, that's the Empire.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Han gets frozen, though, I'm kind of like, I don't know, bro. You kind of deserved it. I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of issues with Han. I think there are a lot of issues. And you and I have had, like, kind of, like, a long conversation around even his relationship with Leia. And, you know, we grew up on that stuff, you know? We grew up with that whole vibe of, you know, macho bad guy, you know, Leia's not technically, like, a sweet, innocent, naive person, but that whole story of the chase, you know, and I feel like Han is such a perfect representation of how culture raised, like, me as a man, we were raised on that culture of, you know, that's how you ought to be with a girl. You ought to be super confident, be in her face, man, in her face, you know, because, you know, she might say no, but she really, like, you know what I mean? Like, so.
But she really means yes.
She wants to date you. She wants to be with you, you know, like, and I think that was, in a sense, I found it damaging. I personally found it damaging. And so looking at that, I'm going like, wow, like, you know, it's very interesting how at that time society, we celebrated characters like that, you know, we did and so now I think it's kind of cool that we get to, I still love his how smart he is, how he's a good fighter, he's you know in Leia's words, you know, you've got leadership qualities.
Yeah.
You know, and he's great, but definitely there's a lot of, it's, if someone says they don't like Lando, like Han, I think it's fair. You know, it's a fair assessment. Hopefully it leads us to good conversation, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of, like, what we see in movies, and I think this is kind of where it's kind of hard to talk about this stuff, is, like, you don't necessarily want your movie to always show, like, you don't want only one type of person, right? So, like, we can't always show, like, our ideal, like, okay, this is a man who treats women correctly, like, all that. Because there are people, like, there are men in the world who treat women poorly.
Right.
And I think it's okay to depict those characters, but I think what we need to watch is, as a society, who are we holding up? Like, who is the character that we're like, that's the character you want to be like.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the womanizer character. Mm. You want to be the one who treats her right, who listens to her, who, like, you know, all of that. And as women, like, we also need to be like, listen, we think it's funny in the movie when Han's, you know, being weird to Leia, but it's like, in real life, that's not acceptable. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't want to be treated that way. And I'm okay with saying that I don't want to be treated that way. I want to be treated with respect.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's true.
And I think that that's kind of like,
yeah,
you can't cut a character like that completely out because there are things to learn from it as well.
Absolutely. And I think they are, you know, what I've said, the artist is the artist. And you know, the artist will give almost like a commentary, you know, on society. Mm-hmm. You know, because these movies, these guys are not just making random movies. They are, they have a pulse on society. And they're almost expressing what they're seeing in society or where society is going. Mm-hmm. And so, and part of it is we do need to discuss the characters.
Mm-hmm.
If a character says this is the good thing, it doesn't mean that it's actually the good thing.
Yeah,
it's the character saying that. So Han is not the be all whatever, you know. He's not the final authority on manhood. I don't think that they're trying to make him the, you know, the this is it kind of person. I think that it's us. We're the ones who kind of like interpret that, you know, because I think of when I would watch movies like that, that was my response was, oh, so this is how a guy should be, you know? And so it's not necessarily that the movies told me to be that, but I think that artists also have a responsibility to make sure that somehow those stories balance out, especially for young people, for younger, like if you're like still impressionable and, you know, finding a way to tell those stories and still be able to say, okay, but this is what we also want you to learn. So yeah, that's just the hard thing of being an artist. It's you're the artist, you're in charge, but you're also responsible. And so I don't think they should cut the characters out or keep them out. I think that they just need to be, we need to find that thin line of between like just expressing a character and commentary on society and in a sense endorsing it almost. And we need to find that and almost separate the two and really be well defined, which I don't think that those movies did that too well. And but I can see how they're trying to get better now.
So my theme comes from Yoda, and it's when he's talking to Luke and he says, slimy, mud hole, my home this is. I really love this part because I think it came before we as a society were really like culturally aware of different, like different cultures and different societies and different things like that. And just being very culturally aware that, like, just because another culture does something differently, just because they live a different way than you, doesn't make it weird. And I think that that's one of those things that I've been really trying to get out of my vocabulary. And I'm not perfect at it, and I fail at it all the time. But it's, like, just calling something weird because it's different. I think that that's a word that has snuck its way into our vocabulary, that it's more damaging, I think, than we make it sound.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a lot about, like, we're, like, in an intercultural relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So you come from Zimbabwe, and I'm from the U.S., and just, like, some of the things that you've told me before about, like, even just things that you've eaten. You know, I remember, like, I mean, you don't like going to the villages, but, like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, we would slaughter a cow, and then we would do this, and I'm like, that's weird. But, like, honestly, that's really culturally insensitive of me to think, because just because I would prefer to go to a grocery store doesn't make it, that's weird, if you think about it. Like, when I think about, like, the things that we do, it's like, actually, it's kind of weird that, like, I don't even really know where my beef is coming from.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Right. I'm like, at least you knew where that was coming from. Like, you saw the cow. Like, like, that's got to be a lot better for you. Or, like, I remember you saying, like, the beef here tastes different. And I was like, whoa, I bet if we bought the grass-fed stuff, like, you would like that more. And you do like it more, but it's so expensive here. And it's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
So I think it's just recognizing that, like, every culture has something to its own that's like, quote, weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you phrase it that way, it really is rude.
Yeah.
Like, it really is a very rude way to say things. Something else that's like popping into my head is we've been watching the Imagineering documentary on Disney Plus, and they were talking about how when they opened, it was originally Euro Disney, but now it's Disney World Paris. They didn't have wine.
Right.
And, you know, as Americans, we're like, that it would be weird to serve wine in Disney World with every meal.
Right.
But it's like, in Paris, like, it was actually, like, they found that disrespectful.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't respect their culture. Like, that's how they eat. That's how they dine. That's how they, like, communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And not even having the opportunity to have wine at their meal, like, that they found that offensive.
Yeah.
And that's something that we would consider weird. Mm. And that's not even, that's, I don't even think that that's that weird of a thing. But anyway, I just think that that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I do really like that Yoda in that scene is really challenging Luke and being like, hey, like, this is my home.
Yeah.
Like, don't, that's offensive. Don't use words like that. And and I know, like, I've been finding myself a lot, like, I used to not speak up a lot when someone would say something that was, like, kind of offensive. Or, like, even if it was, like, just a little thing. Like, you don't always have to be in people's faces when challenging them about something that's offensive. But being, like, oh, like, why do you think that that's weird?
Yeah.
You know, as Americans, we do lots of, quote, weird things. Like, you know, and you don't have to, it doesn't have to be, like, a fight.
Yeah.
I think that had been something that was really scary to me.
Yeah.
When talking to people, I was really afraid, like, everyone would be like, oh, like, you're an idiot, Courtney. Like, don't challenge me on the way that I speak about things. But it's like, it's like, I feel like now I can go to someone and be like, you know what? You really can't use a phrase like that. It's pretty offensive.
Yeah.
You know, like, I really do think it's the way that you you word it. You know what I mean? And it was scary at first. And, like, I think I've gotten more confident. And hopefully I'm not, like, annoying too many people. I think that was my other, like, biggest fear about being more – I want to use the word confrontational, but it's not really confrontation. Being more, like, outspoken about things that are offensive to people that I know.
Right.
Like, I really thought that I would become that person where it's, like – nobody would want to, like, talk to me or, like, say anything around me or do anything like that because they would be like, oh, if I do that, then Courtney's going to yell at me. But, like, people still talk to me.
Even if they don't, I mean.
Yeah, even if they don't, it's like, whatever. But it is scary, like, and I think I think that's my challenge. Be like Yoda. Be willing to be like, hey, this is my home. Don't talk like that. Like, you know, like, I think just being able to, like, when people say offensive things, being able to call it out because I think there's a lot of language out there right now that people just feel confident to use because no one ever challenges them and says, like, hey, that's offensive.
Yeah.
Like, please don't use language like that. Like, it's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I that's really, really good, babe. Like, I think that, you know, phrasing is so important. I mean, I catch myself saying some things are weird. Like, I mean, for me, Groundhog Day.
that's a good one.
I just don't know.
Groundhog Day.
I just don't get it. I'm like, okay, is this the same groundhog? Or is it different? Like, is it what's happening here? You know? You know, and I think that, especially if you're in a position of power, it's like, when we talk about racism, and my definition of racism is racism if you are in power. There's prejudice where you are like, where you're like, oh, you have like prejudices. But if you have a position of power, a position of control, I think that, you know, it's racism when you do stuff like that. Because just because of your positioning, especially if you're in a position where you're like the majority culture or the dominant culture or the, you know, when you say stuff like that, it can actually be harmful, you know. Or if you're someone who's in a position of power and you say, you know, crappy stuff about people's homes and people's, where people are from. And, you know, I don't even need to say who said that before. Most of you guys know the conversations we've had recently on that topic. You know, you can't say that. You can't do that, regardless of how like you view it, because some people don't understand, like, you know, like, I think one of the, I come from poverty, you know, and and before I moved here, I had like pretty much nothing, you know, and I remember, for me, there was a time when sitting down and having the most basic meal, that simplicity, I didn't feel like, oh, I'm gonna die tomorrow. There's a joy that I have just to be alive and to be there. And then, and you know, I'm from Zimbabwe, one of the poorest countries in the world, and the way Zimbabweans will cry about what's happening, but at the same time, when you go to Zimbabwe and you hang out and we have a braai, which Americans call it a barbecue, and we have meat and we hang out and we laugh and we just chill, or if we don't, we're just hanging in a corner and we're just talking. There's a joy that's there of being in community with people. So when someone says, oh, you know, you've got, you know, a crappy home, and they say that, from I get super offended, because I'm like, you don't say that. You know, I can say that because I'm in a position where through my voting, through my voice, being from Zimbabwe, I can speak into that and speak to government there, you know. So I can say that it's my home. But for someone who's outside of that, especially people who are in like positions of power saying stuff like that, it can be harmful. So I think that's one of the things where, you know, as people, we need to be more careful about, even if you're walking on poop, you know, like in someone else's community, like if you're walking on poop and you're just don't like, you know, like, if you're on a mission trip or whatever you're on, I think it's very important that be respectful of that environment. Realize that someone actually sees us as someone will come home from the city or from selling stuff or from whatever, and when they walk through and they swing open that gate that's not really a gate, that's just like wires put together or whatever, and they walk in and they'll take a deep breath and be like, this is my home, you know? And so it's a perspective that I think a lot of people who've never experienced poverty will never feel that, they'll look at it and be like, ugh. But someone's like, yeah, this is my home. This is my little circle, my little field that I have, and I will protect it, you know? And so even though a lot of people wish they had something better, but right now this is theirs.
Yeah, that's their home.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, so my theme comes from Yoda as well. So many lessons from Yoda.
How do you Sensei. Not pick a quote from Yoda?
Sensei Yoda, you know? So much good stuff. I feel like there are so many themes that he just brought out.
Like, he was like, I had like five more. I had like five more quotes I could pick from Yoda, but I was like, just pick your favorite.
I had to announce that, like, when my theme, when it came up, I said immediately, because I was like, I love this one so much.
It was almost my theme. That was like my second choice.
I didn't feel bad when I was like, oh yeah, there are a million others.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so my theme is wars not make one great, you know, and oh, like, flip, like, that hit me hard, because it's such an opposite of sometimes some of the things that we tell ourselves, you know, when we're like, we are the best at this, best fighter, you know, I'm a warrior, and realize that war does not make anyone great. And that, I think that's just such a darkness, you know, that's in all of us, where there's this idea of, to be cool, to be amazing, we need to show you with a sword, and you're running through a million people and cutting them down, and that makes you a great warrior. And hearing Yoda, who will kick your butt? He will kick everyone's butt. If Yoda was like, okay, I'm back, I'm gonna fight everyone, he would have kicked their butts, you know, like he would have. But him saying something like that, it's like listening to Cristiano Ronaldo or Messi, or actually Tom Brady, saying, you know, yeah, being a great football player doesn't make you great. There's this, like, it hits you because it's like, oh, oh, especially if you're like this rookie, you know, quarterback, and you're like, I want to be the greatest because I'm going to feel awesome. And you hear someone like him say, like, nah, doesn't make you great. Mm-hmm. For me, like, there's such just so much power in realizing that, yeah, like, for real, like, there's so much truth to that statement saying we ought to change the way we view masculinity, the way we view greatness, the way we view power, the way we view influence, the way we view greatness. Like, we need to change that to realize that, you know, it's not, you don't need to be domineering to be respected, you know? And I think that's something that, as human beings, we need to learn that, because we are, ripping each other apart. We're literally messing each other up, and in many cases we're prideful about it. We're like, we'll tear you down, we'll beat you down, and I find myself in that situation. I find myself when I'm watching sport, I'm like, yeah, you know, beat them, you know. And I find myself getting caught up. I mean, sport is different, obviously, but there's that nature in us that pushes us to be aggressive and to, you know, and to want to cut people down. In the same vein, I think it's also important to realize that it's in all of us. Like, whether you are a light side, dark side person, you know, I think that it's important to realize that, yeah, like, there is that element in us, that desire, that greatness that comes from brute force. Mm. But we need to realize, okay, we have this, but the truth is that this is not what's going to make us great. It's not what's going to make us, like people might remember us and clap hands for us, but truly, you know, the great people are the ones that brought peace. Mm. You know, that's why Gandhi is such a big deal, you mm-hmm. know? And you might not be a Christian, but, you know, I'll use this as an example, but the idea of a man who is the most powerful being in the world dying, just getting himself killed, that's epic. Mm-hmm. And now it's one of the most influential faiths in the world. For different reasons, different conversation, but the truth of the matter is there's something powerful about that story of peace, of a peace bringer, of a healer, of someone who brings transformation for the better. And I don't know. It's just, you know, it's corny, I know, but at the same time, I know I'm a Vader guy. I got lots of dark side in me, you know, but for me, that's just something that inspires me, you know.
Yeah, I really like that quote as well, because something I find really interesting is, like, usually if you ask someone, like, name someone, like, great in your life, like, someone really great, they'll often describe someone who, like, really believes in them, who really supports them, who really, like, does all that. And then they're like, okay, you want to be a leader, like, what do? Like, often you'll say things that are more, like, domineering. Like, okay, I'm going to make all the decisions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that, right? Yeah. I think that as people, we are kind of me-focused.
True.
Which I just think, like, I think it's hard not to be.
Very hard.
I think it's hard not to be me-focused.
Very hard.
Because, I mean, that's your point of view. Your point of view is yourself. That's just how we think. It's how we function. It's like, it's how we feel. Like, it really is about you, right? And I think it's difficult to be empathetic.
Yeah.
But I think that that's something really interesting about, like, the light side, and what Yoda's talking about is, like, I think that when we go about our own way, we often want to be more almost domineering.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you think of someone really great, who you really like.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily that warrior, you know, that person who, like, pushes through everything. Yeah. Who's, like, knocking everyone over to get to where they want to be. Like, it's someone more like Yoda, who's, like, sitting back, who's training, who's teaching, who has patience, who's, you know, passing on lessons, letting the next generation have the, you know, have their own mark.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. That's really good. That's really good. Okay. So we are going to wrap this up.
Yes, we are all done with Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back. Yes. So, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you guys taking the time off, and especially today as you are, you know, waiting for the turkey to cook, because we know turkey takes a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and you're or making your cranberry sauce,
yum.
Or your sweet potato
yum.
Casserole,
yum.
yum, yum, all the nice things. Thank you for joining us, for allowing us to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So awesome.
And if you have a chance, if you could take a moment and please rate us, that would be great.
Yeah.
We would really appreciate that. Even if you don't think we're that great and you don't want to give us a 5-star, that is totally fine.
Yes.
We can take absolutely. The hit. We're strong.
Yeah.
Kind of. We can do it.
kind of. We can kind do of. It. It's fine. We can do it.
I'll just cry a you little know? Bit. It's fine.
Like, I mean, it's just one day of being of just being in bed and
yeah,
feeling crying. Like you can't take on the world.
It's
just fine. No, just kidding. No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Like, give us whatever rating you have,
yeah.
we can take it. It's actually, it helps us
yeah.
to grow.
Any rating helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.